Hello and welcome to the Nourish, Balance, Thrive podcast. I'm joined today by New York Times bestselling author Michelle Tam. Michelle and her husband Henry Fong are the authors of Nom Nom Paleo, Food for Humans, and the Webby award-winning app of the same name. Hi Michelle, thanks for coming on.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
I'm here with Julie as well, actually, so I almost forget to introduce Julie.
That's all right. Hi.
Hi, Julie.
So tell me, how did you get started in all this? How did you discover the paleo diet? What kind of experience did you have with it? What inspired you to start the blog?
Well, that's a tough question. But I think, long story short, my husband tried it first. And we were both, in our mid-30s. We just had, our second kid was old enough so that we could go to the gym again. But we just felt tired and run down. And I had a muffin top. And so we just wanted to get healthier, and Henry stumbled upon paleo, I think, after doing some P90X and, finding Mark Sisson through P90X. And he felt so great that I decided to try it too. But it wasn't easy and without resistance on my end. When he first told me about it, it sounded like the craziest thing. I was like, what do you mean whole grains and beans are bad for you? And what do you mean you're eating, saturated fat and meat again? Like, this is crazy. We're like semi-vegetarian and we're super healthy.
Yeah.
But he never tried to push it on me. He's like, no, this is what I'm going to try. And I tried to sabotage him by making like homemade whole grain pizza all the time. but I finally just said, you know what? Like, I'm just going to try this and see what happens. And I think all along that was his kind of way of trying to covertly convert me to paleo, because he knows he can't tell me what to do. I have to kind of, decide on my own that it's a good idea.
I think that's true of anyone. You can't tell anyone what to do. Right? Yeah. They have to make that decision for themselves.
And I think that's a problem a lot of paleo folks have, is that they feel so great initially when they're paleo. They just want to, just tell all their friends and family, like, go paleo, go paleo. And you just end up sounding like a crazy person.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I think that's why I started the blog, is because I was like this crazy evangelist at first. And I just kind of continued it because, it was a way for people to get free information about paleo if they wanted it. And that's why we kind of continued to do it.
It's an extraordinary, if you're listening to this and you haven't been to Nom Nom Paleo, which I doubt, but it's possible, you should go and do that almost now. Just pull the car over and go and have a look. It's such a good looking website. And I want you to tell me more about how you make it look so good.
Chris couldn't believe it was a Tumblr site.
That is all Henry. So I always think that Nom Nom Paleo is just me. And I'm just like, before I quit working nights, is like, I was this night shift working, busy mom. And here I am making this like website and iPad app and cookbook. But it's not just me. Henry and I are a team behind Nom Nom Paleo. In fact, I joke that we're like Milli Vanilli. In the front, and he's doing all the stuff in the background. But all the design and all the, cartoony stuff and the beautiful pictures and the graphics and layout are all Henry. Like, he, even though he's an attorney by profession, I think he's always wanted to be an artist, and this is his way of kind of doing both left brain, right brain stuff.
Right. Yeah. I was going to say, what an extraordinary human to be able to do this stuff. Like, that doesn't sound like two things that go hand in hand to me.
No. And it's, I think he's really happy because I think he likes doing both. And so this is a way he can kind of satisfy, being artistic and also being very, pragmatic.
Yeah. And I noticed the book, not only is it a New York Times bestseller, but there's 600 five-star reviews on Amazon for the book now, which I think is quite extraordinary. What's it been like living with that book? Do you get people coming up to you in the street and stuff yet?
Sometimes I get people coming up to me, but only, in Palo, like where I live in Palo Alto, people might come up to me just because I live here. And then if I go to like a paleo event or a CrossFit event, I think paleo is still very fringe. It's not.
Yeah.
I can go outside and I can go shopping.
No bodyguards yet.
I don't ever expect that to ever, you know, happen. Like, yeah.
But shouldn't be the goal anyways.
I thought that was kind of interesting, actually, that one of the comments, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing this right. It's not something I've ever seen, I'll be honest. Savio Magazine called it the best special diets blog of 2012. And I'm thinking, you know, the tagline is food for humans, right? Like, so what kind of special diet is it?
Well, it's special. They have different categories for their food blog awards. And so we were in the special diets because I think vegan, vegetarian, gluten-free are all lumped into special diets. But we were just excited to even be acknowledged as a viable special diet.
Yeah. It's a big deal. It's a small step for paleo kind.
Yeah.
I like it. Well, that's really interesting. I mean, did you ever imagine, because I've always been kind of happy to see that you studied, my background is in food science and nutrition as well and agricultural business. And so when I saw that you also studied that in school and were full on, full steam ahead into the path of entering into the world of Frankenfoods, I felt a little bit relieved that I wasn't the only one that had been duped long ago into that whole world. And what's it like kind of looking back on that and seeing kind of the fork in the road that you took to, and you know, you didn't obviously end up on that path.
No, and I was very intent on, you know, becoming a food scientist. And the only thing keeping me back was like all of those food companies were located in like New Jersey.
Me too.
And I really like the Bay Area.
Yeah.
And so I'm just going to have to figure something else out. But it is really interesting because, you know, when I went to, Cal in the early 90s, it was all about, you know, I think Olestra had just come out then, which was this alternative fat substitute that wouldn't get absorbed. Like you could eat all these chips that you wanted, but then it turned out people got like anal leakage. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't such a good thing. And so, I mean, I
sounds like a fair trade.
Sounds like MCT oil.
Yeah.
But everything sounded like amazing. I was like, wow, you can do so much with science. Science is amazing. You can feed all these people. But, you know, now looking back, I'm like, you know what? Sometimes you shouldn't tinker so much with Mother Nature. And a lot of people have actually said to me that, you know, like our old college friends, like, you know, this is a total 180.
Yeah.
From how you were in college. And I'm like, I totally agree. And it's a weird thing, but people can change and it's good to, you know, evolve and learn new things. And sometimes you have to learn from your past. And so, you know, I think it's just all about being flexible and be willing to adapt to change.
Yeah. I think about some of the presentations I gave while I was studying food science and nutrition, especially when I was in grad school, because I went on to study dairy science in grad school. Mm-hmm. And it got worse.
And sure.
I just think back to the presentations I gave and I said, those words came out of my mouth.
Yeah. And I think that it's just really interesting. And, you know, and then I went to pharmacy school and I worked at a hospital for 14 years. And it's just amazing just how I accepted everything that I was taught at face value without really evaluating, you know, everything and figuring out, you know, if it really seemed true or not. Like when I was at the hospital, like, do these cardiologists look really healthy?
Yeah.
You know, like, right. And sometimes I'd be like, I don't know, maybe it's just a product of aging. And no matter what you do, you can't stop, you know, things from happening. But now I don't necessarily feel that way.
Yeah.
So tell us about that work. That's quite an extraordinary juxtaposition, really, isn't it? And it's especially extraordinary when you look at the website. There's no way that I would look at the site and think, well, this person is doing this in their spare time, in their part time, you know, outside of doing shift work. But that's exactly what has been happening over the past few years, right? So what's that work been like?
So when I just recently quit working nights in July. And up until then, you know, I had been working nights for 12 years. And then, you know, I started Nom Nom Paleo in 2010. So for about 4 years, we were doing both. I was working nights and then I was also doing Nom Nom Paleo. And it was hard to juggle, but I actually felt a lot better and had a lot more energy just going paleo and starting CrossFit. Like nights seemed a lot more manageable, but eventually, and I think this year I hit a wall and I was like, you know what? This is too hard for me to balance everything. but you know, for a long time it worked. And I think that, you know, nights can work for a lot of people. But you have to make sure all your ducks are in a row.
Right. Yeah. I find this all the time that there's almost a certain number of variables that you can manipulate in somebody's life. And if you're going to do something wacky like work night shift, then you need to make sure all of your other things are completely perfect, which gets increasingly harder to do over time, I think. You just like, do you really want to be that perfect all the time? It's hard.
Yeah, no, it totally is. And that's why I said I can't do it both. But I still have my license. I'm still, you know, a registered pharmacist. And I may pick up a few shifts here and there. I haven't done that yet, but it is, you know, I think just being someone who's been raised to have, you know, a responsible career, I have that in my back pocket if I need to.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you're a clinical pharmacist, so you're actually putting pills in people's hands. Is that right?
Well, I mean, the nurses kind of do that. So
okay.
At the hospital as the night pharmacist, you know, it's for the hospital and it's for inpatients.
And,
mostly at night, the busiest populations are the ICU and the OR and the emergency department. So we're just providing, you know, medications and antibiotics and drips and things that help keep people alive.
Yeah, so I wanted to ask you about that. I only see the bad side of this and, mm-hmm. you know, it would be easy for me to ignorantly assume that all these people that you see at the hospital, really what you should be giving them is the paleo diet, right? Is what's on the other side of your coin, the blog part, but that's not necessarily true, isn't it? And there's obviously a lot of really important drugs that keep people alive. Can you tell me about any of those?
Well, there's tons of drugs that help keep people alive. And I mean, I think what's different being in the hospital as opposed to being out in the community and working at an outpatient pharmacy are these are really sick people. Like these days you don't get admitted into the hospital unless you're really, really sick.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And for these people, they need drugs, you know, to get better and go back out. But no matter what you do, you can't change people's behaviors until they want to do it. And they won't listen until they want to do it themselves. So, you know, I think that I actually didn't have any conflict between my job and being paleo because these people need these drugs. And I have, you know, our website available for free so that if people do decide they want to do it, then they can access it for free and find out the information. But I'm not going to say, I'm not going to give you these antibiotics.
Yeah.
Not eat properly. because I know I was like that for a long time. Like I thought I was eating the right way.
Yeah.
And I probably, you know, would have ended up diabetic and like all these things that, you know, people end up in the hospital for.
Yeah. So is the question of the hour from everyone, what are you going to do now that you've left shift work?
Oh yeah. People have asked me that a lot. And I don't know, like, it's really important for me to, you know, be here for my kids.
Mm-hmm.
And so my number one job is, you know, to make sure my family is happy and healthy. And then we kind of do Nom Nom Paleo around it.
Yeah. It seems like the kids are pretty involved in it. Are they?
They're kind of, I mean, I think, yeah. You know, they're getting to the age where they're getting kind of embarrassed by a lot of it. Okay. And so if they are, I totally back off and they don't have to do anything they don't want to. And, but I think secretly they're excited by it and proud of it. But it is, again, it is kind of fringe because, you know, a lot of people don't think paleo is normal. So, you know, we kind of just let them decide how much they want to be involved. And a lot of times they aren't that evolved.
And then how have they kind of really settled into it, of the transition from, you know, non-paleo to paleo? Is it just kind of normal life now?
Yeah, I think so. Because we, you know, what we eat at home is what we eat at home. And, you know, when they're out and about, they get to make their own decisions. So it's not where it's like, oh, you can only eat paleo mm-hmm. all the time. And, you know, they're just always on edge about it. I think that they understand when I'm home, this is what we eat and it makes me feel great. And when I'm, you know, like Halloween's coming up and we are not like keeping our kids from, you know, trick or treating, or anything like that. So, you know, they can decide, hey, this is, I know candy will probably make me feel a certain way. But it also tastes good. So it's, they have to decide what they're going to do.
Are they good then? Do they make the right decisions, or the decisions that you would make?
Sometimes they do. I mean, I'm actually surprised by a lot of their decisions. Like my younger son has issues with gluten just like I do, mm-hmm. whereas my older son doesn't really. But my younger son, you know, has been telling teachers like, no, I can't eat that because that has gluten. And so I actually do think that they do make good choices. And of course, there will be times when they decide, no, I think it's worth it to, you know, eat whatever. But I also think they know the consequences. And, you know, sometimes they choose not to.
Yeah, I think that's the best that you can ask for, really, because I think it's that's the real disconnect that I think, you know, as adults that are, you know, finding the paleo diet and recovering from a life of poor food choices. I think the big disconnect that I've been realizing, especially working with clients, is that people lack that ability to connect the decision that they've, you know, made with the consequence. And they have this like no ability to think about how this food is making them feel. And so no, for a kid to have that ability, I think is huge.
Yeah, like I know for myself, I never realized how food made me feel. Like I would just eat it and I just assumed I had food poisoning all the time.
Yeah, it's true. Because I kind of learned that in food science. That like, yeah,
exactly. I was like, oh, it's so easy to get contamination.
Yeah.
It must be food poisoning. And I'm just more sensitive, even though no one around me had problems with the food that we just ate. Yeah. You know, I was like, it's a dose response and I just need a little dose to have that happen. But then, you know, just in the last few years, I'm like, no, this is just something that happened because I am sensitive to, you know, this food. And when I cut it out, I feel normal.
Yeah. And did you get complete resolution of your problems then just from purely diet alone? Because again, this is something I'm in quite a sort of a weird tiny part of the universe where I only speak to people that have still got problems, even though they've done all the diet and lifestyle stuff. So did you fix everything just by changing your diet?
I think most things, I mean, not just, I wouldn't say it's just a diet. I think
yeah, it's lifestyle too, right?
So
it's
prioritizing sleep is huge. Uh-huh. But I think eating right and exercising, I think all of that kind of worked together. And I used to have, you know, GI stuff all the time. Mm-hmm. And I had achy joints and I had all this stuff that just went away. I think initially it was food. And then once I started feeling better, once I started eating right, then I started looking at other factors that I could tweak.
Right.
And then, you know, I think, but I also think that, you know, there's only, you can hack, but you also need to enjoy life. And so it's all of those things and managing stress.
Absolutely. You've got quite a wonderful success story with managing or the photo period thing, right? Protecting your circadian rhythm. What happens for you and that in shift work?
Well, I really noticed though, after I quit working nights in July, at first I thought I had it pretty well dialed in. And even on my website, I have this post about like surviving the night shift. But, you know, looking back, like there's a reason why I called it surviving the night shift and not like thriving on the night shift.
Right.
because you really, it's really, really hard to, you know, go against Mother Nature and to go against your circadian rhythms. And one of the things I noticed with myself is my memory is much better now that I've stopped working nights. And I would work 7 10-hour shifts in a row, and then I'd have 7 days off. And so it's a pretty cool schedule, but you can never kind of get back to baseline, even with those 7 days off. Mm-hmm. And so you're just kind of compounding, sleep deprivation. And I really think like my memory suffered, and I was really excited because I did 23andMe to see, you know, what, and this is before they, just limited it to your ethnic background.
Yeah.
Oh, they don't give you any information now, right?
Yeah. They don't give you any of that, the good stuff.
But I
got my results before they did that. And it said that I was at lower risk for Alzheimer's, which made me really happy. Because I was like, oh, this memory loss that I have must be due to something else. And hopefully it's sleep. And if I fix that, my memory will improve.
Yeah.
I think it has. So I think that, you know, I think you just have to be happy and be around people you love and laugh and eat good food and move and all those things together, you know, will make you happier.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's interesting. You should mention that actually, that with the symptoms, sometimes you don't really notice them until they're gone. I found that, right? It's like when you're sat there in a haze of brain fog, you're not really thinking about all the things that you're missing out on right now. It's just not the way it works.
Yeah. I mean, I used to just say, oh, it's just, it was, I was like, oh, I'm just sleepy. But I think it's more than that. I think that, you know, you're just not able to like compound your memories properly. And, you know, but I do know that a lot of people have to do shift work by necessity. And, you know, I chose to be a night shift worker because I really like the 7 days on, 7 off. Because otherwise my schedule would, you know, be day shift, evening shift. And then when I was a young pharmacist, I'd also have to work in night shift. And so that unpredictability, I really didn't like. And I didn't like that I could never schedule time to see, you know, my friends and family. So I chose to work nights. But, you know, some people don't choose to work nights and they just have to. And, you know, it's not impossible. Like, you can kind of figure out how to make it work. But it is hard to do long term.
For sure. And then, do you have lots of people coming to you for help other than, you know, like asking directly for coaching and stuff like that?
I have had people request that, but I always tell them that's not my, it's not my gig. my deal is I would just want to help people make healthy, delicious food. And that's kind of where I stop. I was like, there are tons of other coaches I can refer you to, but my thing is just to help you make, you know, good food.
Well, you're really good at that.
Yeah.
And we were just talking about it the other day. And I think one of the things, cause I relate to this as well, that, one of the things that makes the way that you cook in your cookbook so approachable and something that I really enjoy about it is because the way that you cook, it tells me, I wasn't surprised to find out that you are a cookbook collector and a reader of cookbooks as a favorite pastime. And I think you can really tell that about the way that somebody cooks when they have kind of an ease in the kitchen and an ability to kind of explore, because you seem to expose yourself to a lot of different cookbook authors and different chefs and cooks.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say I'm a cookbook collector. I think I'm probably a cookbook hoarder because we have too many for our shelves. But I mean, before I cooked a lot, like I used to just read cookbooks just because I love food. But then once I started going paleo and I was like, oh, I probably have to cook more. You know, I just learned a lot from all of my different cookbooks because there's no one right way. Like every recipe is kind of a tweak of another recipe. There are better ways to do things. And that's when I refer to like the Cook's Illustrated books, because they test recipes like 70 times. But you know, you can find all sorts of really great ideas and recipes from a lot of the older books. And so that's what I kind of like doing. I like to look at I feel like making something Asian. Let me look at these old cookbooks that my mom had. just kind of get ideas of what we can cook.
Love that.
And then what are your plans for the Nom Nom brand? I think it's a really cool brand that must be worth something now. And so what are your plans for it? Are you going to do more books or what's going on?
Potentially. We're doing an update to our iPad app, which is free to everybody who already has the iPad app, which we're really excited about because it's a really cool and fun redesign. We are potentially thinking of a book, but we don't have anything concrete yet because we want something that is as fun and useful as our first book. And so we're trying to figure out what that means because we don't necessarily want to just do another book just to get one out there. Mm-hmm. But we want it to be something that people will want.
My mom wanted me to tell you that she would like a whole cookbook on Asian-inspired dishes because they can't get takeout anymore. So
yeah.
She would really appreciate it.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely something that I would like to work on because it's really hard to eat out paleo at an Asian restaurant. Like, Everything has soy sauce. Mm-hmm. Or you go to Japanese food, there's a lot of sugar and everything. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, that's one of the ideas we're kind of, you know, thinking about, along with just trying to make cooking easier and more streamlined for people. Because I know that's, I mean, I think the one of the limiting factors is just cooking, like finding the time to cook or just, you know, like you come home at 6 o'clock, like what do you make for dinner? Like you're tired, you don't want to spend all day, you know, working on a stew. So, you know, I think we're trying to kind of put all those things together. But I don't know. What's funny is I've been asked this question a lot and we've never had kind of a game plan for anything. Like we always think of things that might be a fun idea for us to do. Mm-hmm. And then we just do it. And so far it's worked. And I think we're going to try to keep doing that.
I think that's a great idea.
So we're not going to see a Nom Nom restaurant anytime soon then?
Oh, no. People have asked that. Like, are you kidding?
I feel the same way, Michelle.
So much work. And like my in-laws ran a Chinese restaurant for decades. And they work so hard. And it's a thankless job. I'm like, no, I want someone to cook for me.
Yeah.
I can't go to anybody's paleo restaurant and pay them good money to make me a delicious meal. But yeah.
Someone also wanted us to ask if you were going to start a food truck anytime soon.
No. That's even more work. But all of those things, I am happy to support whoever wants to do that.
Yeah.
But I do not want to do that.
Could you not just oversee it? You know, like just plan the whole thing and then you could sit in your ivory tower.
No. Yeah. I'm... That's not
your shtick.
That's not my thing. Like, I think my thing, like, people are like, oh, well, you could cater this party for me. I'm like, no, I want someone to cater my party.
I know.
Like, I'm happy showing people how I cook for my family and my friends. But, like, the max I can cook for is probably, like, you know, 10 people. Like, I have no idea how to scale it to, you know, be for 100 people. And that would stress me out. Like, it's just. It wouldn't work.
Well, you just did you recently did like a pop-up thing in Portland, right? With one of the,
Yes, with Gregory Gordon.
Yeah.
I didn't do anything.
Yeah. You just showed up. It
was like the perfect event because, you know, Gregory is awesome and he's an awesome chef and he's a really great person. And so we had, you know, we met each other a couple years ago and every time I go to Portland, I see him and he's just a really cool guy. And we were just going to go up to Portland to relax and eat. And he had said, hey, do you want to do this, you know, pop-up brunch, at my restaurant? And I'm like, sure, if I don't have to do anything. And he's like, oh, of course not. I will, you know, we'll handle everything. And you just show up. I'm like, okay, I'll bring some dolls. And that was like the coolest event ever.
That's awesome. But how do you think, like, what are some things that you, like, how did you learn how to cook, or how do you tell, like, where do you point people to if they want to learn how to cook? Because that's something that, you know, I work with clients all the time, and most of them are pretty adept, but there's always somebody that needs some help. And
it can be a deal breaker, right?
Yeah. Like, if you're not willing to or not able to cook, how do you, what is your best advice?
You have to start simple and do some really easy things that will taste great the first time, because I think a lot of people give up. Like, they'll try something really complicated and it'll cost a lot of money and it'll, you know, cost a lot in terms of like sweat equity. Mm-hmm. But then it comes out like blah, and you're like, I'm never making this again. Like, I wasted all my time and all this money. And so I think if you start with some easy things that are delicious and you kind of work your way up, that's kind of the best way to start cooking. I mean, something as easy as like my slow cooker Kahlua pig, which basically is just getting like a really nice pork butt roast, having some, you know, salt and a few slices of bacon and throwing it in your slow cooker for, you know, a bunch of hours. And you just have this big pile of delicious pork like that. Those kind of things I think are really great for people to learn, or just learning that you can just throw some broccoli with some fat and salt and pepper in, you know, your toaster oven, and roast broccoli is delicious. And so I think it's starting with little things, and once they get more confident, then they can, you know, do, you know, bigger productions. But I think it's just a matter of practicing, and just, you got to just work at it just like any other skill. Like, I think people have this idea that cooking, like, you just do it and it should just work magically. But it's like anything, you need to practice.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's true, actually. That's kind of funny. Everybody needs to do it, really.
Yeah.
But it is a skill, right? Like, I tried to play tennis once and that didn't go very well either.
And but that's the thing with cooking, is you can't, like, give up. Like, with tennis, you're like, oh, forget it. This is not You have to eat, right? Yeah. And so I think that's, and it's gotten so easy for people to outsource. And I think for a lot of folks, you know, who grew up like I did, it's like, you can have fast food, you can have frozen food, you can have all these things that are instantaneous and taste like hyper palatable. And so you just have to, you have to ignore those and try cooking simple yet delicious things, or, you know, utilizing foods that add umami, because those just, you know, like ingredients like fish sauce, tomato paste, like coconut aminos, mushrooms, like those things add a lot of oomph to your meals without too much work.
That's a wonderful, it's a wonderful contrast. I've just been talking to Stefan Guillene about food rewards and hyper palatability. And so probably all the things that you look for to make something great is all the things he's like, no, steamed broccoli. That's what
No, I know he's against, but I think there's a difference between hyper palatable food, processed to be hyper palatable, and then just delicious homemade food, right? I mean, you know, with delicious homemade food, you can only eat so much because it's real food that will satiate you.
Yeah.
Whereas if you have a bag of Doritos, you'll just go and you'll just be fun.
Well, and I think there needs to be, like, I think there needs to be a little bit of a reward for people to come back to home cooking and come back to learning how to prepare food for themselves. Because if it's all steamed broccoli, I probably wouldn't want to do it either.
And I mean, I'm sure you'll be really skinny if all you could eat was steamed broccoli and, like, you know, steamed chicken. But, you know, I think food should be enjoyed as well. But it should be enjoyed, and it should make you feel good afterwards.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for your time today. It's wonderful for you to come on. So when can we expect the revision to the app then? Have you got a date for that?
Well, we're talking to our developers today, but I think sometime this winter.
Awesome.
So hopefully. I mean, I don't want to throw, because things can always change.
What can possibly go wrong now?
Yeah.
This winter is a good timeline for that. And I don't know. I mean, I always have stuff on my blog, so people can always look there.
Yeah, awesome. Absolutely. Nomopaleo.com. I'll link to that, obviously. But I'm sure most people have been there and enjoyed that already. But.
Yeah, and we're going to do a giveaway of the Nom Nom Paleo book at the, when the time that this
airs. Oh, you got a book
airs.
Signed, didn't you?
Yeah, we're going to do that. We're going to do a giveaway for when this airs. So,
cool.
That would be awesome.
Excellent. Brilliant. Okay. Thanks, then, Michelle.
Thanks, Michelle.
Thank you.
Take care.